Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour on this beautiful, sunny Wednesday morning here in Middle Tennessee. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just heard us end the last hour with Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We now switch gears and talk with Chris Mortensen from ESPN. He's going to weigh in on the situation we've been talking about for the last 2 days on our show. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Obviously, every day is a different norm in the NFL, and if you are somebody has to talk about or affiliated with the media covering the NFL.
Yeah, it's, you know, we talked about this at length yesterday. It was not a matter of if, it was when. And quite honestly, I thought it was a, you know, applause and you know, a hat tip to the NFL that it took to week, you know, preparation going into week four for us to actually have this story. Unfortunately, it was with the home team. But, you know, I just, we all knew it was a matter of time, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, and I know there may be skeptical people out there saying, well, you know, this really caught us off guard. But I do know that when, as the NFL was planning this, this goes back to March, mid to late March, and they were really trying to tackle one problem at a time, including the NFL draft, doing how we were going to accomplish that. But I will say that they were very aware and anticipated that there were going to be a situation like this, and they didn't know when it would happen. Because remember, everything that we kind of anticipated turned out not to be quite that, which was wait till the summer comes, these numbers will go down, and they haven't, and so therefore, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's a bummer. Maybe we got, and I know for a fact there are some people who just feel like, okay, you know, we've gotten through 3 weeks of this, we've got this thing down. Well, you know, this was a wake up call, and unfortunately, yeah. Titans are the ones who, you know, were affected by it, and I thought it was interesting. And just, you know, hearing that Mike Vrabel said that, you know, that there were players with some symptoms and flu-like symptoms, whereas yesterday I think there were a couple reports saying everybody was asymptomatic. Well, that wasn't true either.
That is a very good point. Really good catch by you. You're right. That was out there yesterday that everybody was asymptomatic, and now you just hear Mike Vrabel saying, now we've also learned a fourth, although the name was not disclosed in his press conference, which did surprise us. But now the league has come out, Mort, as you know, this morning and said, okay. And another thing that we're pleasantly surprised by, that the league was willing to say, yeah, Sunday's game is postponed, but it's either going to be played on Monday or Tuesday. We've kind of learned in these last 6 months to kind of go out on a limb and just definitively say something. But I guess the league feels pretty comfortable that this game is going to happen this week. It's just going to be a little bit later.
Yeah, I found that really interesting, too. And I'll be honest with you, I misread that when it first came out, because I thought that they would make that decision on, you know, I interpreted it to be Monday or Tuesday they'll announce it. But no, obviously they've decided that they'll go forward Monday, and that was even discussed, you know, yesterday, that we could possibly have another Monday Night Football doubleheader. But Tuesday certainly seems somewhat practical. But trying to get it in and get it done is, I think it's important this week, I really do. But only if it's safe. That's the key. It's got to be the health and safety of these people, and we're not just talking about players, as you know, staff members. You know, we really need to be conscientious of. And I know some people out there just, you know, listen, we don't know how this originated. You know, of course, obviously, Coach Vrabel on Monday revealed that Shane Bowen, right, the defensive coordinator, did not make the trip to Minnesota. So, you know, that was revealed. But Shane wasn't part of this group, this latest group, including one addition. That tested positive. So it's we don't know how that happened. That's, as you know, the league is investigating all this matter in terms of how this possibly could have happened.
We're talking to the great Chris Mortensen from ESPN. His insights on the Titans situation. The game against the Steelers has been postponed to be determined, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. We'll see. And, Chris, I want to ask you, that they have chosen, and it's their right to do so, to reveal the players who have to, you know, from a transactional standpoint, have to go on the COVID list so far, but not the personnel. But I'm worried, what's the right balance? Because I think everybody is still trying to learn. The league probably wants to learn the best way to balance, you know, how to handle a situation like this. So the questions of how did it originate, those are important questions, but I guess they're not going to be shared with the media. But what's the right amount that should be revealed?
Well, I think that they need to be as transparent as possible with the media, because we're not just talking about the media. It's just, we're people to the public, right?
Right.
And so, therefore, I mean, because this is a public health matter, I think that they need to be as transparent as possible. You know, in terms of identifying players, I know there's some sensitivity to it, but, you know, at the same time, I think it's important, and they have contact tracing, but, you know, there's been a couple times when I woke up and I wasn't feeling well, and, you know, kind of, it goes through your head, guy, you know, I went to Walmart yesterday, I had a mask, everybody around me had a mask, we were socially distanced, you know, if I have it, how can I even tell who I was nearby in contact with? Now, I know these guys are much more restrictive in terms of their circle, who they're around, but, you know, we also know they're not sleeping at the facility 24 hours a day.
That's for sure. Morton, what about the awareness now? This is probably a great chance for the league to continue their emphasis on, hey, to a detail, we've got to make sure around the league that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, especially on game day with the masks and everything like that. I know they issued a pretty strong memo to people.
Yeah, you know, and I thought this memo it's noteworthy because basically they're saying, hey, in addition to fines now, we're talking about suspensions and forfeiting draft choices if there's going to be further violations. And the reason I say this is more than words is because after week one, when we saw some violations, the league sent out a memo that says, you're going to be fined if you continue with this. And what would we fine? We saw $1.7 million worth of fines, not only to the coaches who did not wear masks, but $250,000 each to those teams with those coaches. And I can tell you, say, well, what's that money compared to when it's a multi-billion-dollar operation? Now, listen, $250,000 right now to our teams is a big deal. And there are a lot of wives upset with the coaches who lost their $100,000. Because really revenue is going to be down this year. It just is. And so I think what they're saying is that, we backed up what we warned previously, because week two we fined people as well as week three. And right now, since you're still flaunting this, we're coming at you harder. I think this memo should get everybody's attention, period. And if it doesn't, so whatever the penalty is, so be it.
Chris, I think a lot of people, while we have you, would love to hear your perspective. This has totally overshadowed a great 3-0 start, even though it's by the razor's edge here. But your thoughts on what the Titans have looked like on the field?
Yeah, well, I think, listen, that's a great way to put it, razor edge 3-0. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to watch eight games in that early slot, and I kind of didn't fall asleep, but I stopped watching that game, and all of a sudden I said, oh, my goodness, Titans win this game. And I mean, I had seen Ryan Tannehill completion, a big completion here and there, even though he didn't have any touchdown passes. And I think, by the way, he's like a sleeper MVP guy. Now, when you say that, I'm not putting him in my top five, but he's right there, that next group. You know, and Derrick Henry, I liked it because he's on my fantasy team. So, but, you know, listen, I think they have challenges. I mean, I do think they missed Dean Pease, you know, the defensive coordinator who retired. And that's no knock on anybody else, but Dean was a special coach. I think they miss him. They obviously missed some personnel. How many snaps did Taylor Lewan play the other day? I know.
It went out in the first quarter.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's another thing. It's like, so they're overcoming those things, but it's And that's a good thing, because you went into this month saying this is going to be the real preseason. I mean, a more heightened preseason, only the games count. So you've come out of it, and it hasn't been really pretty, but you're 3-0, and that's got to make you feel good, and hopefully you can pull it all together.
Chris Mortensen from ESPN is here with us. So how about the flip side, the opponent, the Pittsburgh Steelers, also undefeated in that tough AFC North? I mean, everybody kind of looked at Baltimore and thought, all right, they're going to be the ones to win that division. They very well might, but after their loss to the Chiefs, the Steelers at the top, what do you think about Pittsburgh?
Yeah, listen, I think that anybody who thought that Pittsburgh would not contend at a high level with Baltimore was a little misled. I mean, you know, they played good football last year, but they were playing without Ben Roethlisberger. He is healed. He's better. You know, they have some more maturity. They had another good draft finding a receiver. You know, their front is really, really good against the run. I've talked to some people who've watched film on them, said there are some – they're vulnerable in a couple spots in pass defense. And if you can get some matchups, you know, for instance – Roquan Smith, the linebacker, is really great against the run, but he can be a weakness some in some of his drops in pass coverage. And they have another spot at cornerback that you might be able to expose. But you got to block him up. I mean, heck, Arthur Smith certainly knows that, and the entire offensive staff of the Titans. You got to be able to block him up and protect, and that's a tough task against that team. They're very good.
I want to ask you, a weird roster question, but one of the players that's on the COVID list for the Tennessee Titans is Bo Brinkley, their long snapper.
Long snapper.
And long snappers don't exactly just grow on trees. I mean, it's a tough position, and I know they have the expanded practice squads, and you can hold on to some quarterbacks and veteran players or what have you, but how do you think they address that, because you still have some protocols that you have to follow about bringing in an outsider?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, sometimes it's okay to say I don't know. I don't know what Mike Vrabel said on his presser, but obviously they're going to have somebody, and there will be somebody with some experience. But you're right. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things you kind of take for granted until you see a bad long snapper. You know, so obviously they'll find somebody, and be interesting to see how they're able to get onto a practice field, you know, once all those things are accomplished with the COVID protocols. And I don't know, maybe there's a secret. Maybe one of the who are the backup quarterbacks? You can't hit the center really like you used to. So
I have to get in one non-Titans or Steelers question. The Dallas Cowboys 1-2 to start the year, but they've been in some close games. We saw the comeback against Atlanta. It's not a very good division, Mort, but do you think that Dallas can put it all together as the season goes on, or is this just a team that has some injuries and you don't know if they can overcome it?
Good question. You know, to me, like when you lose a Tyron Smith and, you know, obviously Travis Frederick, their Pro Bowl center, retired, and Lyle Collins, who's a Pro Bowl tackle on the other side, you don't have those guys. You're not going to quite run the football like you used to, or protect. You're going to have Dak Prescott running around more. But the defense has been obviously a concern, and they lost Byron Jones, who's a very good secondary player. They lost Leighton Vander Esch, who they had moved to middle linebacker, early on, and with the broken collarbone. They hope to get him back in the second half of the season. You're right; it's not a very good division, and I think that they'll be able to. I think they'll be able to scratch their way through this, and probably win the division. That's what I would expect, but. It may not be pretty, and there's some reasons why, and that's without making any excuses for them, because everybody right now has people hurting, missing, and so, you know, if you say, well, let's take the Jets tomorrow night. You know, they play the Broncos. Well, we got all these guys missing. Well, guess what? Broncos are bringing in Brett Rippon, third string quarterback tomorrow night, and so those excuses won't be acceptable to a fan base or even some owners.
No doubt. Chris, really appreciate the visit. Continue to be safe. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys, you too. Thank you for the time.
All right, that is Chris Mortensen from ESPN. We'll come back and tell you about a big local high school football game that's going to take place on Friday night and get back into this matchup with the Titans and the Steelers and continue that discussion on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I want to just kind of fill you in really on the health and the well-being of those individuals that have tested with COVID. Some of them are indeed experiencing flu-like symptoms. Nothing, I think, out of the ordinary. We anticipate that they will feel better shortly. Nothing of overly concern. But again, my concern is always with the safety and the health of our players, their families, our staff, and their families. And then also the individuals that have it tested positive. I think that their mental state is strong. It's they're excited for a challenge. This is a resilient group. We had a really good meeting this morning, a great meeting. Players will still be in meetings here for a few minutes. We'll have a break. Everybody was tested this morning prior to 8 o'clock. Everybody that was supposed to be in treatment, they were indeed in treatment at the time that they were supposed to be, starting at 6 a.m. We staggered out the treatment. Those players were able to be in our building with a reduced number of training staff. All players had masks and face shields on. I appreciate all those guys being patient with the time. We can only handle three or four players at a time in the training room today, just to follow the protocol. Players will be off for a few hours, and we'll get back into meetings, Zoom meetings this afternoon.
Mike Vrabel talking to the media for the first time since the news broke yesterday morning right before our show that three players had tested positive. We've learned who those three players are, and one of them is Daquan Jones, who we talked to last week on the show, had a really good conversation with him. The other is the long snapper, Bo Brinkley, and important piece. Pretty interesting. You don't have extra long snappers just kind of sitting around, and Bo Brinkley's been doing it for a while, and also a guy on the practice squad in Tommy Hudson. We've learned that there is another player, but we have not learned who the player is. There's five staff members that Mike Vrabel says protocol does not ask that they have to release those names, so he's going to choose not to do so. And now we wait for the NFL, because the NFL says the game on Sunday at noon at Nissan Stadium will not take place, and it looks like it's going to be either Monday or Tuesday. And, guys, with the Vikings continuing to get back zero positive tests, I would assume – boy, it's a word we threw out a lot yesterday – I would assume that the Vikings-Texans is on for Sunday?
I would think so.
There's no report otherwise, so I think they're moving in that direction without a doubt.
Yeah, because I when I was watching Good Morning Football on NFL Network, they were speculating and there were reports that they could be back in tomorrow. So if that's the case, then they'll be able to play on Sunday as originally scheduled. So I don't see any alterations. I figured if there were going to be, the league would have probably announced that around the same time as they did with the Titans and the Steelers.
Mortensen brought up an interesting point in our interview with him to start this hour. I don't remember who it was. We read so many reports yesterday, I lose track of who said what. But who was it that said?
Graziano.
Was it Graziano that said that the players were asymptomatic? That he had learned that everybody for the Titans or Desert was asymptomatic? And yet Mike Vrabel today said that there were players experiencing flu-like symptoms, so that would be incorrect.
And I don't know if he specified that it was only players or only personnel, but he said some of our people are experiencing some flu-like symptoms. He said nothing out of the ordinary. We just played the clip for you. So it does make you think, because we think of this as, can the Titans play? Can they get to 4-0? That's really our mindset when we were talking about our show, but in our real life, right, all of us, you have to be concerned. If you get hit with this, you know, somebody in your circle has it, and the tracing, and because that's the real part of it, right? That's the real life part that we all have to know. That's why I asked the question to Chris Mortensen about the transparency, because I do think there's a lot of people that haven't been hit with it in their circles, and maybe would be more apt to let their guard down. This is a great educational opportunity to help people who maybe aren't on the ball, aren't with the program here, as to how it can happen, how easily it can spread. You know, it could be somebody coming home from school. You know, somebody around. There's so many ways you can get it. That's why I think it's the right thing for Mike Vrabel to say, we don't want to blame anybody. You shouldn't shame the person that started, even if you do know how it started. But I think from an educational standpoint, there's a lot to gain from society. You know, football fans who may not be paying attention to the news or what you should try to do to educate yourself on to how to attack and live with this virus, you could learn from this.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, and that's, you know, that's the hope for not only the Titans but the entire league, that they can take some of the, you know, the data that they get, talk to some of these people that are going through this, and maybe adjust the protocols as they go. And that, I think we all expected that.
Yeah, they said, you know, we're doing the protocols. They have a lot of protocols, and yet this still happens. It just shows you how the virus is everywhere, right? It's ever present, and yet you can be doing everything right and still have it affect you. So that's an important thing to emphasize to not only your operation as the Titans, but use it to help the community understand, right? Because we want to live with it, right? We want to be doing the things, but we have to be aware of all of the ways you can get it. And some people are some people have taken more initiative upon themselves to educate themselves more than others, right? But maybe there's a few football fans that just want to see football, but maybe by osmosis, if nothing else, they learn something from this. You can be doing everything right and be responsible, but still come up with the virus.
Well, it is pretty interesting. The league is taking a very hard stance and basically letting teams. This was, you know, and you weren't going to get this memo until this happened. I feel that way. Because, like I said at the beginning of the Chris Mortensen interview, like, and we talked about this yesterday. The fact that it took until now, I mean, we're getting right ahead into October. This is it. We're wrapping up September. And the fact that this is the last day, tomorrow's show is going to be in October, that this is the first time we're talking about this, it is hats off to the NFL. Like, they've actually done a really good job. But it's not good enough when this happens, and then you see this memo come out, and it's very clear that the league is trying to be very proactive now, moving forward and telling teams, like, hey, you need to be wearing your mask. You need to be wearing shields. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And if you don't, this is what's going to start happening to you. So this was the league. This was more than a hand slap. This was them pointing their finger at every team in the league going, you better get your stuff together and you better start getting really strict with this stuff. If not, you may even lose draft picks. You may get fined. You may lose draft picks. I can't imagine how egregious you would have to be to get hit with losing a draft pick over this. But, man, something went terribly wrong in your organization if you get hit with losing a draft pick over this, right?
Well, didn't he say that they've already dished out $1.7 million worth of fines? And obviously that hasn't gotten the message across, so now they're threatening with the draft picks. Now
that'll get the message across.
Yeah. And he makes it, Mort made a great point. He said, you know, this isn't exactly the best year for the league to be having to, you know, pay all that fine money because they're not bringing in nearly as much revenue.
Yeah. I'm glad that they're cracking down.
That's right. That's a good point. It's just basically saying, yeah, maybe in the past when everything was so lucrative, you know, everybody's like, yeah, okay, it's
100 grand, 50 grand,
big
deal,
right? Whatever. Here's a check. But now that they've lost millions this year, and you know, who knows what the numbers are really going to look like when it's all said and done? The fine's a little bit more effective these days.
But if they're going to the next step and having to take draft picks or threaten to, clearly they don't think it's gotten the message across fully.
Do you ever think that they're going to get the message across fully? I mean, you would hope.
Well,
that they
if
do,
you
but...
take away somebody's draft pick, I don't know if it'd be a first round, a third round, what the first one would be. But if somebody's just not compliance or if not compliant, then that'll send a message.
Yeah, but I applaud the NFL. I do. I applaud the NFL for how they're handling this. They didn't go the bubble route because they felt that this was the best course of action. They knew that they were going to have to be cracking down on teams, and they were going to, you know, they couldn't be soft about it at all, and I don't think that they have. And to their credit, you know, you brought this up to start this, Darren. We're almost in October, and outside of what's going on with the Titans, there really haven't been, you know, there hasn't been major news with outbreaks and stuff. So I think that you can say not perfect, but you have to look at the grand scheme of things and feel pretty good about the progress and the results that they've had.
No doubt. And now we await and see what's next. I guess they need to get through a round of testing today, right? And then I felt like if Mike Vrabel was willing, he's pretty calculated with what he says. The fact that he was willing to go out there and say, well, I know it's Saturday today, but, you know, don't be surprised if it's not Saturday. That yeah. tells me he feels pretty good that they're going to be in there before Saturday. Did you guys get the same vibe?
I did. I think if he has his druthers, right, if everything goes the way he hopes it goes, and I think that probably will be another day of reassurance with the testing and everything that they've got it contained, and they feel pretty good about coming back to the field before Saturday. Like, already I think it was big. And I don't know what a factor this is, but remember, Dr. Alan Sills is the head doctor. He actually lives in Nashville. I don't know if he's actually been here the last few days, because I know he spends a lot of time in New York in the league office. But they got, through communications, the ability to go into the facility and give treatment to the injured players. So people who didn't hear the press conference live may not be aware of that. But that was the first step, that they're not on total lockdown right now in the facility. So the next step is, can you go in there and practice earlier than Saturday? There's probably another round of testing that has to be done. But it sounds to me like what they would like to have happen is practice sometime earlier than Saturday and then play the game on Monday as opposed to Tuesday.
Well, I think that would have to be Friday then, that they're getting in there. I mean, my guess is, under your scenario, we would find out tomorrow around this time, okay, they're going to be allowed in the facility Friday as opposed to Saturday, and then therefore the game is going to be Monday afternoon, Monday night, however they want to do it.
And he really stressed that, and then he almost had to cover his bases after by saying, and, you know, it could go the other way, right? Unfortunately, yeah. It could be after Saturday, and then
well, if it's after Saturday, really, then they're not really playing this week.
Kevin Byard was even saying, you know, I'm going to do some jogging. He says, watch around. If you live in my neighborhood, you might see me jogging around. That is something the players on their own are going to have to try to do, is, you know, stay physically active without practicing, right? They're going to do all the mental things. And Mike Vrabel went through a lot of detail on the routine of, you know, the Zoom meetings. And, you know, he almost went through hour by hour what they're going to do today. So they're going to do the regular meetings. They're used to it. They've done a lot of virtual meetings, but they just can't practice.
Yeah, is Tannehill going to take his kids out in the backyard and run routes, have them run routes, throw to them?
It's one option.
Mike Vrabel admitting that he was not anybody who has tested positive. We've also learned through social media that John Robinson's wife, Jamie, has said that John Robinson has not tested positive. In fact, his last two tests have come back negative, and that he is kind of isolating himself, quarantining himself from the family right now, and he's been wearing a mask at home. So we've learned that. And I saw where Kevin Byard was speaking to the media, and he said that he has not tested positive. So players getting asked, are you the one? Are you the one? And I wonder when, if protocol says you have to release the name, I wonder when they're going to release the other name, and I wonder why it's taking so long if they know.
Well, yeah, we'll know. I
just think
say
nobody asked today, which I was a little surprised that nobody actually just would see if Mike Vrabel would reveal that today. He did say, and I thought this was, you know, pretty important. I think John Glennon was the one that asked, okay, how long does a guy have to? Because we've wondered this in the case of Isaiah Wilson. How long can a guy stay on the list, and how quickly can he get off the list? And so he basically said, these guys on the list right now, they're not playing in this next game. And he went through some, he said something like a ramp-up acclimation period before somebody can return. So there's a lot of protocols, as you would imagine, before a guy is cleared to play. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. And so, as was brought up a number of times, we brought it up with Mort, there will be a new long snapper, right? Bo Brinkley will not do it. He's been there for a number of years. You never notice him, and that's a good thing. That means you have a good long snapper. I think Ben Jones is the emergency guy, but Mike Vrabel was saying he and John Robinson are going to talk it over. There's going to be a different long snapper. So anybody know the number of a good long snapper out there?
I can see if Channel 4 let Joe Dubin go, you know, for a week.
he once was a long snapper. I think he was.
He was.
But, you know, it was interesting that we had an interview, guys, and you guys remember, Jeff Fisher actually brought this up. What was it, at least a month and a half ago? When was it we had him
August
on?
August 25th.
He called this situation because this would be the rough one. Now, the good thing, it didn't happen on Friday, right, 2 days before a game. Then you're really scrambling. But he brought this very thing up.
These teams right now are preparing. You have to prepare for all different scenarios. And you see across the league, well, so-and-so says, we're going to keep two quarterbacks, and then we're going to have one on practice squad, and then we're going to have another one that's not even in the building in case we get everybody sick, and then at least we can play the game. I'm thinking, well, what are these other positions? Well, your snapper and your holder and your kicker, you need to have backup plan there because that operation is not easy. People take for granted how that you know, the long snapper and the holder. You know, you just can't move someone over there. You got to practice and prepare and make sure you got a backup in those in case something happens tonight for a game. So, you know, everything's open right now. And I think that the teams out there that have been together, for example, Baltimore, they're going to be better prepared to handle the what ifs than versus a team that has a new head coach that's trying to figure it out, that, you know, that they just put a system in and they couldn't do it on virtually and on Zoom and da 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 da. You know, it just, that's where this league's going to go right now. So it's going to be interesting to watch, certainly.
There you go, Jeff Fisher, about a month and a half ago on the show, and pretty interesting him saying that. I did want to pass along that Oakland and Brentwood are going to play this Friday night. How about that? They both had vacancies in their schedule. These are two powerhouse 6A teams, and they're going to get to play. They're going to get together and play at Brentwood this Friday at 7:00. And I guess they're both top five in Class 6A. Brentwood had a vacancy in their schedule with Independence because they had to cancel because of COVID-19, and Oakland had a vacancy in their schedule because Blackman had to cancel because of COVID testing. So Oakland and Brentwood getting together on Friday night at Brentwood, that'll be a huge matchup Friday night. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Yeah, let's rumble. Yeah, I think that'll be a good matchup.
Yeah, let's go. Let's see it.
So that'll of the week.
Do you guys think that on the long snapper thing, they have a guy sort of on call that maybe they have communicated with to say, hey, if you're not on a roster, if we have a situation, look for a call from us. I just wonder if, because as Jeff Fisher pointed out, you go through all these things, right? I'm sure they thought about it. So I'm wondering how the Rolodex looks on available long snappers.
They must have an e-bug situation? There's the emergency backup long snapper.
Is there a guy that happens to live in Nashville that used to be a long snapper? That's one convenient way to look at it, because the quicker you can get him ready
to go.
Where's
Ken Amato? What's he doing?
Ken Amato. How old is old Ken now?
I would say.
Does it matter to be a long snapper? Really?
Some guys do that for a long time.
Ken Amato was one of them, and he was here how long?
Well, who was the guy that we used to talk to back in the day, Willie? Was it Leach? Is that right?
Yeah, Mike Leach.
Mike Leach.
Yeah, who was a tight end.
He was a
tight end, but also stayed in the league for a long time.
Like
as a long
16
snapper.
Years yeah. or something as
Guys,
a long snapper.
You're not going to believe this when I tell you.
You know They've where signed Ken, Joe Dubin.
You know
They've
where
signed
Ken,
Joe Dubin?
No. You know where Ken Amato is?
He's coaching Oakland.
He's on West End.
He's on Vanderbilt staff?
Yes.
Is he really?
Yes. Okay.
He's the 2020 season is the first in a quality control capacity for Ken Amato, who works with the Commodore Special Teams Unit.
Wow. Okay.
Hey.
There you go.
Special Teams?
There's your guy. How old is he now?
Hang on. He's 43.
He's 43? Ken Amato's 43?
Guys, he was here like 10 years.
I know. Is he in shape?
Well, I don't know. Let's call Derek Mason and find out. See if he's available.
Oh, boy.
Wow. He's on Vanderbilt's staff. Interesting. We come back. I'm going to tell you about some ratings, and I'm going to ask you guys a question that may be silly and dumb, but I just want to get your feedback and see what your initial thoughts are. We'll do that on the other side to close out the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. They're in the third inning. Game one. Redlegs, Bravos, no score.
Kirk Casale in the starting lineup for the Reds. Just got thrown out, grounding out to Dansby Swanson with the Vanderbilt connection.
Where was Dansby playing today? Where's he playing today for the Braves?
Well, he's playing short, is he not?
Right. Short.
Yes. Who's that at first right now that just almost got picked off? That just got banged up. Looks like a
Nick
shoulder.
Nick Senzel.
Okay. Oh, the kid from UT, right?
Yes.
Did you
often injured.
Did you see he is, unfortunately? Did you see the ups of Dansby on that hit?
Yeah.
I'd like to know what the vertical was on that. He almost got that. That was, like, that shouldn't even have been close.
Did he bat it down?
No, he didn't bat it down, but that ball was way up there. Chase, that would have been 4 feet over your head, and he almost made a play on it.
Thanks. I mean, look, that's, what? You got to point that out? Like,
I'm
we know that.
I'm just saying that was an incredible jump by Dansby, man. He had some ups on that play.
No, he's a heck of an athlete. I mean, he makes plays like that tries to make plays like that, I should say. I mean, didn't quite get that one, but he makes some athletic plays for them all the time. So,
yeah,
baseball all day today. It's going to be fun. 8 games.
Got my Braves hat on. I'm feeling it for the A, as they say. I don't do the chop. I guess they're not doing the chop. So,
my guess is Porth slept with his bobbleheads last night.
Yeah, he's been chirping all morning. Don't worry.
Isn't that dangerous to sleep with bobbleheads? Remember,
probably.
I did destroy the Scott Hartnell bobblehead.
Yes,
you did.
So if you sleep with him, that's taking a big risk.
Well, maybe he sleeps like a vampire. He doesn't move, you know. We have a tweet from someone that says Andrew East lives in town. And he believes that he played long snapper for the Redskins last year. And he said, according to this tweet, he's married to Sean Johnson. Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. I know she lives here in town, right?
She lives in Nashville.
I'm not sure.
No, she does. Yeah, she lives in Nashville. But I didn't know that. So just thought I would pass that on.
You know, our city is full of very diverse and talented people.
Well, who lives here anymore? It's
yeah, like, the thing. Just when you need a long snapper, you know, there's probably a long snapper in our city. Maybe that wasn't the case 20 years ago.
We'll see.
Sounds like we got two choices here.
Well, let's factually see if that's correct. It's just a tweet, okay? I just read
it's just a tweet.
I don't know Andrew East, and I don't know if he really was the long snapper for the Redskins last year. So let's look that up and make
verify.
Sure that's factually correct. What I wanted to pose to you guys is we have talked about the last 6-plus months of, you know, how this year is different and how would we change moving forward. And this is what I want to ask you guys is – we've talked about a lot of the sports ratings being down, right? Richard Deitch was on with us last week, and we talked about ratings with him. And like, why, you know, the NBA playoffs, and I get it, it's a different time frame. Usually they're in June, you know. NHL Stanley Cup Finals in mid-June. And now they're doing this in September, and NBA is going to be in October. So understand that. But a lot of the feedback is, well, even the NFL out of the gates came down 10%. It's like, what's going on? Like, we thought everybody would just run to the television sets to watch anything and everything because we had months and months where we had nothing, essentially. And that hasn't been the case. So, you know, one of the theories out there is, hey, you know, this is a big election year, and typically every, you know, election year, that pushes sports items down, right? When politics like this, you're getting ready to elect, you know, a president, then typically that drives down sports ratings. So I ask you guys this. Last night's debate, which was the first one, right? You expect monster numbers. Their numbers were down big time. Way, way down from back in 2016. So going along the theme, and I don't want to get into that. Okay, that is not why I'm bringing it up. I don't want to get into that.
Well, sure. If you made it all the way through that, by the way, congratulations, because that was not the easiest.
Like
watch.
I said, I don't want to get into that.
So we won't go down that road.
That poop show last night, okay? Let's just leave that alone. But back in 2016, there was monster numbers compared to last night. So if everything is just constantly the theme of it being down, I ask you guys, why? Is this simply because in the last 6-plus months we've just figured out other things to do with our life? We've just figured out new things and new interests, new ways of going about our schedule. Maybe, you know, because people are working from home, it's changed your mentality. People are in better moods because you don't have to deal with traffic as much. I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff out there. And I just, with that being said, I ask you guys, why do you think everything we see when it comes to TV ratings these days, it seems to be down, even when it looks like, you know, an election year, you would think monster numbers, not the case. NFL back, monster numbers. Well, they're down too. I mean, they're not down 50%, but they're down. So I ask you guys, why?
Well, I think it's pretty simple, honestly.
You think it's pretty simple?
Yes.
Okay.
Richard Deitch said it. He said the viewership overall of watching sports of some kind is up, but it's so fragmented that is what's taking the individual ratings down. That's what I believe is clearly the case.
What about last night that was on all the networks? Like that, you don't need to watch on your computer or your phone. It was on the networks. Like a lot of the sporting events are on, you know, secondary channels that, you know, not everybody has. CBS Sports Network, NBC Sports Network. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't have that, so they watch it different ways. But what about, you know, something that's on networks and it being down?
I still think you run into fragmentation. For example, tonight, you have the NBA Finals. The NBA Finals has never been played in late September, October, and that's going to have some viewership. It won't have what it has in June when it's got the spotlight because you have baseball playoffs going on. That's going to take some of the viewers, even if it's just the viewers of those particular teams. Some of those viewers would be watching the NBA Final, but they're not going to be watching that because they're going to be focused on their team. I don't know who's playing tonight. Let's take the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers is a great example, right? Laker fans and Dodger fans. There's probably a crossover there, right? But both of their teams are playing a playoff game. So you got Laker fans who probably are like, well, I got to watch the Lakers. This is the NBA Finals. But then again, if the Dodgers, who are, you know, World Series are bust, they lose tonight, they're one game away from elimination. So these are really important games. But I don't know how you're fragmented, right? That LA base is going to be fragmented because of it. But the viewership, there's tons of fans in LA. They're going to watch one or the other. They're watching sports. You just can't watch everything. It's the old drinking through the fire hose. There's so many games going on, you can't watch them all.
So you think it's because we've got new devices, new toys, new ways, cord cutting, all the stuff that we've talked about over the last couple of years, you think, and they're not getting measured into the ratings, and so therefore...
That's not a theory. I'm just going by what Richard said.
Okay,
Richard said to us, we can go find the clip. Richard does this for a living. He says the viewership overall is high, but it's so fragmented that the individual ratings are low just because there's so many games.
Okay. Yeah, I buy that.
Chase,
I mean,
do you have a theory? Do you agree with that, or do you have something else?
Well, I agree with that, but then I also think that you have some people that just they got used to doing things on their own time. They're not sitting in front of the TV as much. They're, you know, going out and walking around and, you know, hikes and things like that. Plus cord cutting, how does that measure? You know, we've asked this question when we've had this conversation. A lot of people cut the cord, and that was already happening, but it's happened even more. So if you watch on a streaming device, you know, what kind of credit do you get from a rating standpoint? And I buy Willie's theory, too, that I think people are just bouncing around. That's what I'm doing. I mean, I may have multiple TVs set up, but I'm still bouncing around to different things.
But we've bounced around a lot in the past. It's not like everything's been broken.
Yeah, but
upwards.
we've never had as many sports to take in.
We've
at
never
one
had
time.
The NBA finals going on in the middle of okay. NFL football and the
Stanley
SEC
Cup.
Is back now.
But college basketball or college football has been down. I mean, everything has been down. You know, I mean, college football is
but
not had a full slate of games.
But we got to
been...
be honest, though. The big dogs
okay,
are just
right.
starting. They're
true.
Just starting.
Yeah,
true.
And
with you, didn't miss a thing if you didn't watch a single college football game until last Saturday. You didn't miss a thing.
And with the NFL, I do think there are people that are turned off by
sure,
some of the other things.
I understand.
The social justice stuff. And they're just like, you know, you're always going to have the stick to sports crowd. You just are.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go away, and they have their right to their opinion. And so I think there are some people that say, I'll never watch you again, and they don't for a month, and then they get bored and they come back. And they think that they've proven their point. So I want to see what it looks like moving forward. Do the ratings go up? But I believe everything we have thrown out there is, you know, probably playing into it.
That's what I tend to think that all of this is in play. Like, I think it's all fair game and all in play. I really do. But I kind of just went with the angle of I think everything you guys have laid out is true and more than fair, and that is certainly happening. I do think there is something to, you know, I mean, just think about people should be in a better mood, even though this year's been crappy. Like, for me, I'll just tell you right now, openly admit, I've been in better moods because I don't have to touch 24. And there is something to that. And people, yeah. And I don't even have to do drive time hours, okay, for the most part. People that do drive time hours every single day that haven't had to fool with that nonsense every single day. By the way, you get about two and a half hours of your life back every day, right? And you're just in a better mood. And you have more time to do other things. And I just think people have found time to do other things that they weren't able to do before because they're always in the hustle and bustle, or they just got through sitting in their car for an hour and 15 minutes. They get home and they're like, ugh, you know, and I don't want to do anything else. I'm exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted. And so what do? If you just check out when you get home from a long day of work and dealing with nonsense on the roads around town, the interstates, you say, just turn on the TV, right? And I'm not going to move. Well, now you don't have that for a lot of people, and I think people are doing other things, and they're just in a better mood, and they're not sitting around as much as they used to because they don't have that element. They've gotten some of their life back that they just sat in a car.
Right.
Maybe.
Like I said, I know that's just a small – I think all of this is factoring in, but I just thought I would bring that other element and see if you guys thought there's any truth to that at all.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible. I did have one person at Brent Peterson's golf outing, right? One of the people that I played with did say, you know, he's a listener to our show. He's followed our show, followed our careers for a long time. Been a, you know, long Nashville resident for a long time. He said, "I got to be honest, I haven't gotten back into the flow." And this was a few weeks ago, right? September 14th was that. So that was really before college football cranked up. It was the night of the Titans opener. So I could see that, right? Maybe it's taken a little longer for some people to get back into the sports flow because they did get used to
doing other things. Yeah.
And living without it for a while. Now it's back, and it's back full bore. It's almost too much. You can't watch it all. You know, I wish I could watch all 8 of these baseball playoff games. I mean, I'm one of those guys who, as a kid, I did everything I could to watch every second of every baseball postseason game. you know, the old ALCS, NLCS, you race home after school to see the game two of the ALCS and then game one that night. You know, I missed a lot of homework assignments over the years. But you can't watch eight playoff games. I don't. Who has time? You can't watch eight baseball games, even if you tried.
Yeah. I've got a text that says, Andrew East is indeed married to Sean Johnson. They live in Nashville. They have a baby and are Instagram stars. Signed, Lauren McFarland. And she would know.
Thank you for
clearing
that up.
Lauren McFarland, thank you very much.
Kathleen called and confirmed that that as well.
So we have multiple sources.
We've confirmed that Andrew East is married to Sean Johnson. They live in Nashville. They have a baby. They're Instagram stars. We still haven't confirmed whether he was a long snapper for the Redskins last year.
Kathleen said he was. Okay. So that's another source.
2018 is what I see.
2018?
Yep. But that's Wikipedia. Got to question the
source.
It's
like riding a bike, right? Jump in there. You never forget how long snap. You can do that in his sleep.
I just want to see 43-year-old Ken Amato taking off the Vanderbilt staff.
But Jeff Fisher, that's why we played the clip. You can't take for granted how hard that is, right? It's a true specialist thing. But you expect perfection in that. And there is the chemistry between the holder, the long snapper, and the kicker that's important. And you change one of those ingredients, it does take a little time. So it's going to be a key element in that game against the Steelers.
We will come back and begin the third hour flip-flopping. Chris Mason, our final visit with him this year. We're going to move him to the next, coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck getting pushed to the 1 o'clock hour. He had some ESPN duties come up during his normal weekly chat. So we'll come back with C-Mace. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.